Kevin Campbell with Curtis Mayfield, major anthem of the 60s, Keep On Pushing, Curtis Mayfield and the Impress, a great classic. It was a title track of their 1964 album and became one of the anthems of the anti-war, pro-human rights movements of the 60s. Tevin Campbell's version was recorded and released 30 years later in 1994. This is Lead Stories. I'm Mutrice Lead, and there's instruction in that song. The instruction being that a lot of the changes that we want and need will come as a result of our own effort. We can't rely on systems to especially the established systems to do that. It's quite the opposite. Their goal is to make sure that we don't succeed. So anything at all to remind us that it's our job. We will end up having to keep on pushing ourselves. Well, first things first, we know now that the water protectors, as they called themselves, who were opposed to the controversial Dakota Access Pipeline, have succeeded in making sure that the pipeline does not proceed, the construction of the pipeline does not proceed in their territory, because they had maintained that it was going to be an environmental disaster, number one, but more importantly, it also was going to be a sacrilege to their sacred burial grounds and for future generations to come. The Army Corps of Engineers decided yesterday that it would direct that the project be halted for the time being. It would not give permission for the project to go ahead. But it is not a total victory. It is a very good thing that it developed that way, but it is not over. The issue is not over. We do have a Trump administration coming in, and the president-elect has already indicated that he intends to give permission to the oil companies to proceed. So for the moment, they are grateful because they got a lot of help and a lot of support, but they did the work. They faced this thing down themselves for months in the bitter cold, and we have to watch to see how that will go. There's a great deal of pride here, not only from the nations that were involved in protecting their land, but the coordination of effort among so many people who put themselves out of the way at great personal sacrifice and inconvenience to lend support to this effort. And that is why I say, you know, you got to keep on pushing. We will do this. Many people on PRN had been covering this story, and they were doing such a great job, so I didn't need to repeat it. They were doing a very thorough job of covering it. But we will get into it from the perspective that we had before about Native Americans and First Nations people and the issue of treaties. And this is such a case. In the end, it comes down to yet another instance in which the United States refused, absolutely refused, to honor anything approximating a treaty. And secondly, we talk about that word tribes. Keep calling these people tribes. These are sovereign nations. That's where we locked horns last year, as a matter of fact, and followed up with discussions on this question. These are sovereign nations. And it is important that we understand and recognize this particular question. It's not that the U.S. government was dealing with a bunch of tribes. And that's a repeated error I found in the coverage of this. It's as if they say, well, they had all these tribes who came together. No, these are sovereign nations, and we need to understand that. And their actions were consistent with their understanding that they are sovereign nations. And still, the United States is kind of loath to recognize the existence of sovereign nations. It wasn't just about water and the environment and the cultural practices and religious practices of nations, of people. The important point I want to communicate here is to not lose sight of the fact that they came from a position of sovereign nations, exercising their sovereign rights. And that's very important. We shouldn't forget that. Well, I want to switch to the discussion that I had scheduled for today. We'll come back to the Dakota Access Pipeline in future, in near future. But from the point of view of discussing this recurring problem with the United States refusing to honor treaties, refusing to recognize the sovereignty of nations. These are not tribes. We got to understand that. They themselves call themselves bands, B-A-N-D-S, meaning a group of people who have a shared culture within the larger community of nations that is distinctive for all kinds of reasons. But they are sovereign nations. That's important for us to understand. All right. So, Dr. Jill Stein, as we speak, scored a victory of sorts. And the victory is that the state of Michigan and the state of Wisconsin and the state of Pennsylvania are dealing in one way or the other with her request for a recount. She initially had gone to state court in Pennsylvania to demand a recount of the 2016 election results there, and then later changed her mind and said, well, we'll go to the federal court instead, because this is actually a federal matter. But that is being worked on. We don't have any results of that yet. But the effort has also extended to Michigan and to Wisconsin. So they are reporting today, in fact, it's just at noon, a ruling that says that the state of Michigan will immediately begin its review, its recounting of the 2016 vote. So that's interesting. So things are proceeding. It's also something that raises a lot of questions, I think, and we ought to talk about that. Jill Stein, as you know, was a Green Party's presidential candidate in the 2016 election, who got 1% of the popular vote and zero electoral votes. But she stunned the political world last week when she announced that she was going to seek recounts in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Each of those states had slim voter margins between Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Hillary Clinton. In terms of votes, Stein herself did not register too well, or if at all, only marginally registered as with votes from in these three states. A lot of people were very concerned about this, that immediately after the election would come this request. Even her own running mate, Ajamu Baraka, pointedly differed with that and disagreed with that, that the Green Party should not have been asking for a recount. The rationale being, hey, first of all, it's not our job. If anybody had reason to contest anything in the election based on the votes, you would think it would be either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. Well, Donald Trump won, so he had very little reason to demand a recount. Hillary Clinton lost, but did not demand a recount. In fact, quite the opposite, she conceded defeat. She even, you know, called up Donald Trump, and he said that she was quite stateswoman-like in conceding defeat, but she didn't see the need to demand a recount. And those would be the two primary people you would think, if there was a problem, they would be the ones to raise it, to demand a change. But the demand for review of the numbers, which is to say a demand for review of the election process itself, comes from someone who, as I said, got 1% of the vote, 0% of the electoral votes. Her stated reason is that she was acting in the interest, the larger interest, of the American people, who should have no questions at all on any level about the integrity of the vote. And that, too, caused some concern, because the implication was that the voting process has no integrity or is so flawed as to be tantamount to having no integrity. So that the Green Party is stepping in as a kind of advocate for free and fair elections in the United States. The implications, as I said, are causing a lot of ripple effects by people asking, well, what do you mean? Now, the request for a recount is not, she has said so herself, she has no evidence of wrongdoing or fraud or some kind of election tampering, which one would assume would be a logical reason for a recount, that evidence has been gathered somewhere, at least in these three particular states, and these are the specific states in which the margin of victory was pretty tight between Trump and Clinton. It's very odd. So she chooses these three states, and this is where she wants to recount. Of course, they have to pay for a recount. So the Green Party embarked on a vigorous fundraising campaign to pay for the recount in each of these states. Again, Stein has not established in any concrete way any evidence so far to say that there's reason to believe that in these particular states they have evidence of irregularities, and they are of such a magnitude that a recount could change the outcome in these three states. Now, these three states are seen as swing states, so-called swing states. So now comes another layer of meaning, another layer of significance to this action, which is Jill Stein genuinely motivated about the fairness of elections and the integrity of elections? And if so, why not choose, just pick any other states? But all three states are swing states. All three states are states in which Trump beat Clinton, but in a very tight race in these three states. So the question is it possible that one of the, maybe the byproducts, if you will, of her action would be to change the bottom line votes in each of these states in such a way that it would actually produce a different result? And the different result being, it would be a defeat for Trump and a victory for Hillary Clinton. Well, if that's the thinking, according to the experts, it will make no difference. If any change is found, and if there are more votes for Clinton and fewer votes for Trump in these states, it would not be, even if that were to happen, it would not be to a level where the votes, whether more votes for Clinton or fewer votes for Trump, would be at such a state, at such a rate, that it would actually change the outcome in any of these three states. So it's a kind of, this is the argument by the experts, it's not necessarily the smartest move. It's not going to yield so great a difference mathematically that it will change the outcome for Trump as victor or for Hillary as a loser. So this comes down to another set of questions. All along, you know, why now? If you have a problem, or you think there's a problem with the integrity of the vote, or a potential problem with the integrity of the vote, why not move sooner? Even before you ran, for example, so that the integrity of the votes for you, Jill Stein, could also be authenticated, and those votes for you will be safe. But none of this actually relates to Stein herself. It's a kind of altruistic, very advocacy-minded effort here to make the system fair for everyone. And this is where the experts say, well, what do you mean by make the system fair for everyone? There have been no allegations so far that the presidential race, the vote for in the race itself, had been compromised. And even if you maintaining the Clinton line that the Russians are busy hacking the system, and that's why she lost in part, because the Russians hacked the system, nobody found any evidence of the Russians hacking anything. And secondly, a recount would not help matters if it were about hacking. That's a computer thing. And the computer people, the cyber people, will have to deal with that. No one has said so far that they have found evidence of the Russians hacking the vote. And secondly, even if there were, a recount would not show that, because a recount has to do with the actual ballots. If it's being hacked, how would ballots be usable or useful in counter-checking whatever is going on as a cyberspace crime to jiggle the vote? Because the whole point of recounting is that people compare this document to that document from the same voter. The electronic voting does not generate a paper trail. So what could possibly have been, I know what she has said, what could possibly have been Jill Stein's intention here, where even her own vice presidential candidate says, look, this is, he's opposed to it. It made no sense, he says. And besides which, it sends a message, he said, it sends a message that maybe the Green Party is working with Hillary Clinton. And he thought that that would have been a very bad signal to send to the public, especially the Green Party supporters. But apparently, Ajamo Baraka's opinion doesn't matter much within the Green Party. And Jill Stein is on this thing that now she is the guardian of the integrity of the vote. I don't get it. Here's what I thought. Look, I've talked about it before, so it's nothing new I'm saying here. The Green Party should be directing every bit of its effort and energy in organizing and building. If you believe that you could afford to conduct a campaign in order to get, they've gotten almost $9 million. In my head, $9 million is a lot of dollars. And that money, considering the results of the election for the Green Party, that money could have been directed to a lot of internal use, as in dissecting this election, hiring people who could help you analyze where you went wrong, what happened that produced your barely 1% of the national vote, what you've got to do, things that you have to put in place in order to achieve some kind of critical mass and not repeat. Presumably, the party will be running again in the next 4 years. Use the money wisely. It's not even your fight. This is not your fight. If it were a fight, a worthy fight, somebody else would have raised it, particularly one of the others who did very well at the polls. But you would notice something interesting. This move was made by the Green Party. And only after Jill Stein said, well, we want a recount. You have 1% of the vote. What are you recounting? Even if there was widespread fraud, okay? Even if there was widespread fraud, it would not have done much to produce victory for the Green Party at the polls. You barely got 1%. And you got zero electoral votes. So this is not your fight. And no one else, although Donald Trump did say that, you know, the system is rigged, and he may very well have been right. He certainly was right in the case of Arizona and Nevada and places like that. Not necessarily where he was concerned, but particularly where another candidate was concerned, that candidate being Bernie Sanders. Remember, 2 million votes? That people still don't know where they went. But I don't recall Jill Stein worrying about the integrity of these votes. I don't recall anybody asking for a recount, including Bernie Sanders. So it means that they were okay with it. And they might have been okay with it because arrangements, as we saw, Sanders accommodated the Democratic Party. He pledged his troth to it and has since sealed the deal, agreeing to be the Democratic Party's outreach guy. He's going to help build the Democratic Party on the strength of the independent movement that he betrayed. So even though he should have been troubled with this 2 million votes that just didn't go anywhere, nobody knows where they went, what happened to them, and nobody called for a recall then, for a recount. Nobody bothered to ask for a recount during the entire primary process, rife with voting irregularities. Nobody stood up then to demand the integrity of that vote during the primaries. But we did have Donald Trump saying the system is rigged. And even so, he did not insist on recounts, possibly because he had been able to track that the votes for him were going quite well. He was doing quite well. And even with a rigged system, he could survive. And he did. So why would the Green Party decide that the number one issue is not building your organization and using the money to build your organization so that you can arrive at a point of critical mass and matter in the political world as some form of defense for people who desperately need it, but now you can afford to direct millions of dollars to this open concept called securing the integrity of the vote. I thought you were running to win. I did not know that the Green Party's main purpose was to secure the integrity of the vote. And even so, here's the thing, even if that's what you want to do, you are in no position today to show how exactly the Green Party itself was harmed. You're not making a case for the Green Party. Look at what happened here. The election is concluded. The winner is determined to be Donald Trump. Whatever people want to think about it, here's how it turned out. Donald Trump is the winner, playing by the rules that they set and that everybody agreed to. Hillary Clinton loses. And it's a stunning upset because the Democrats, that i.e. Hillary Clinton, had believed that everything was in place to guarantee a win. They even had the champagne on, chilling for the victory party. They had secured the rental of the Javits Center, the glass house, to make a point of Hillary breaking the glass ceiling. They had all of that planned, except they weren't paying attention. She has about 2.5 million more popular votes than Trump has, and she lost. Why? Because that's the rules that they all agreed to. It was the same rules that her husband played by, and he got two terms. Same rules that Barack Obama, who went stumping for her, played by. It is the Electoral College that elects the president. Those were the rules. In the same way, during the primaries, it's the delegates. And she didn't have a problem with the superdelegates beating out everybody else, specifically Bernie Sanders. Nobody complained because, as they say in Brooklyn, Dems the rules. Okay. So she loses by the rules, and she doesn't make a fuss about it. Of course, we know that she beat up her husband and was very violent to people. The reports, because she was madder than you could think over this loss. But she conceded because, and by the time she conceded, you could bet she had a battalion of well-paid lawyers going through every bit of fine print to figure out if there was a way that she can beat these rules and have herself declared the winner. They couldn't find a way. They couldn't find a way. Trump won more electoral votes than she did. He was paying attention to those states, the very ones that Jill Stein is now pointing to as the states that she wants reviewed, curiously enough, saying that she's interested in a fairness for all people. Well, we should question that. But anyway, Trump won. You like it, you don't like it, too bad. This is the rules that they play by, they agree to it. This is the result that they have to deal with. And I point out again, Hillary Clinton conceded. She knew that by the rules, she had lost. Even though she had more popular votes, way more popular votes than Donald Trump. Trump knew that the recipe for winning, for clinching the win, was the Electoral College votes. And he won. She was outflanked. She was outsmarted. Plain and simple. But she did not request a recount. Instead, Stein mysteriously asks for a recount. And then Hillary comes in behind that, very careful to indicate she's not asking for a recount, but she is supporting. It's the kind of games they play. She is supporting the Green Party's move for a recount. You see how that is done? All right, now here is really why we have to ask a question here, because tactically we can't sever this from the issue at hand. You have 1% of the vote, but you want a recount. Okay. To get the recount now, you have to pay for it. Hillary Clinton is supporting it, but she's not paying for it. She is not putting a penny in that pot. So Stein, because of her dedication to fairness for all, and not paying attention to the fact of why you run a race. You run a race to win it, not to make points, but you got to win it. And you clearly did not win it. You barely appeared as a blip. You barely moved that needle off of 1% and zero electoral votes. And you're talking about the fact that you want to guarantee that the system was fair, implying that it wasn't, or it possibly couldn't have been. You have no standing here. You have no dog in this fight. This is not your fight. But you're in it, and you're leading it. And you're leading it with money from supporters that should go to building the organization. And here is the end result of that. You open the door to let the beast back in. That's what you did. That's what we have to thank the Green Party for. Hillary Clinton had already come to terms with the fact that she got pulverized. There was no way that she could fight defeat. This was a gift. She conceded defeat. You have any idea what a great victory that was? Now, that doesn't mean that Trump is the great gift either. But that's another fight. The big fight was won. And if the Green Party had any sense at all, the Green Party would take credit in part for that defeat. To say that we tried again, we did not succeed in winning, but we are very clear that we are glad to have played a role in this process. And we wish to get ready for the fight, the battle to come. You dismiss Hillary Clinton. You know, run her off into the desert. Shut the door, which was shut by the people. You go in with this idea of planting in the public's mind that there was something possibly wrong with the election. Nobody else is saying that, including Hillary Clinton. She is not saying there's something wrong with the election. She's not. She's not complaining. She hasn't even hinted of any irregularities in the election other than this vague idea of the Russians with their cyber attacks, and they're doing this and doing that. And that was thoroughly and definitively debunked. So that door was shut. We successfully got Hillary Clinton out the door and shut the door behind her. Now the Green Party, because it's such a strategic, I mean, it thinks so strategically, it opens the door and boom, here comes Hillary Clinton again. The thing that would not die is back with us. The fungus is back among us. And how does she explain this? She lays it at the Green Party's door. She says, well, you know, if left to me, I mean, you know, I already conceded. But in as much, suddenly she is taking direction from the Green Party that she has no respect for. And it's the Green Party that is financing her comeback. The Green Party giving her some kind of platform, however weak it is, but giving her a platform to re-strategize and to plant in the minds of the public the possibility that she lost because there was something wrong with the election. Thank you very much, Jill Stein. Good job. Good thinking. Great strategy. If Hillary Clinton were to make a comeback, she should have done that, and she should be doing that at her own expense. And you should not, just as a matter of strategy, you should not be providing the wherewithal for her to do that. So you can understand why Ajamu Baraka, the vice presidential candidate for the Green Party, had concerns that Jill Stein's action could be so badly misread, especially since these questions were not raised in the appropriate time, in the appropriate context. I would have imagined, as I said, if these kinds of things were of concern to you, certainly they would have been concern to you when the Democratic Party, that's Hillary Clinton's party, was so atrocious to Bernie Sanders. And when the system absolutely was rigged against him. Silence. Silence then. So you can understand why this act, which people are very emotionally dealing with right now, they're thinking, well, this is consistent with the Green Party It is a party of justice and fairness and whatnot. And that's the other thing. When people squander, they squander the good thing that they have, you have to question their leadership. People were mobilized behind the Green Party as an alternative. When you dismiss, for example, your own vice president's views, you telling me that there's any other way to interpret that other than you have no respect for that? Somebody who is your running mate is saying, hold it. Hold it. Don't go down this road. But you must prevail because you're smart. And you know all things. And then you are financing Hillary Clinton's comeback, which is what I would say. That's what it's going to turn out to be. The woman says, I am following the Green Party's initiative on this, and I support it. She's not putting a penny up on this, because in one way or the other, first, she does not expect much to come out of it. Secondly, the numbers tell the story. This is not going to change the political outcome, but it will provide the one thing that Hillary Clinton can use right now, which is something of a stage. And she will put this yoke right around the neck of the Green Party, saying, well, the Green Party raised it, and I agree with the Green Party. I agree with the Green Party. All of a sudden, great respect for the Green Party. But she will not risk, even now in defeat, Hillary Clinton will not risk alienating the Democratic Party, because she's going to need it in a minute. She's not going away. But this issue now gives her the possibility of becoming relevant in the eyes of the public. Once again, the Green Party supplied that opportunity and is financing it. What do you think? We have a couple minutes. You can make at least one call we can take. 888-874-4888. If you are fast on the dial, you can get in. So this is my concern here. This particular development, while it is being reported on as a kind of, you know, a progressive thing, it actually is not. It's self-defeating in so many ways. And we have to confront the Green Party, particularly Jill Stein, on how this decision was made. What caused her to override the vice presidential candidate? What was the process that yielded this decision, that this is what ought to happen now? And that you can raise, this tells you, if you could raise $9 million in less than a week, the question then would be, how come you can't raise this in 4 years? So, major questions to ask here. Frank from Philadelphia, you're on the air.
Okay. What I was thinking first off, okay, I really do appreciate your iconoclastic approach, because we have to always be that way because the iconoclasts are always correct. I was just willing to give her the benefit of the doubt in pursuing this. I'm talking about Jill Stein, because they accrue some benefit if they can get 5% of the vote. Is that they can participate in the debates or something like that? Isn't that what it is? if they get 5%?
Yeah, but you know, that's silly too. That's a silly objective. The thing that you ought to concern yourself with is building. That's all.
Uh-huh.
It's not about debates or anything. Just build your organization.
Organize and
build your organization, and that should consume 100% of your attention. The illusion that you belong in the circles of presidential campaigns should have been busted a long time ago, based on the numbers you're pulling. You don't belong in that circle.
Don't you think by debate that they can expose the other people, like the Democrats and Republicans' shortcomings?
Republicans are doing a fabulous job themselves of exposing their shortcomings. What I'm saying is, this is time for the Green Party to shut up, go someplace really quiet, and subject themselves to brutal analysis if they really want to be relevant.
Okay,
everything is pointing to the fact that you need to reorganize. Never mind this 5% and all this. You're not ready. The party is not ready to engage in presidential politics. Not yet.
Okay, I definitely accept your point there. Can I just ask you another question?
Sure.
Do you think, like, the accusation was made about Bernie Sanders, and I agree with it to this day, that he was, in fact, sheepdogging. Do you think that that it's all underhanded, and as you've called him, his whole thing treachery. Now, do you think Jill Stein might be involved in the same practice and secretly working for the Clinton or the party, the Democratic Party?
The point I'm making is her actions are yielding the same effect.
Well, yeah, I would agree.
It may not
That's
be intended,
I mean,
but they're yielding the same
the
effect.
Given the fact that if we accept the idea that she should just be concerned with building the party and nothing else, then we have to view this, we have to be suspicious of peculiar motives, right? Wouldn't you say? I mean,
here's what we need to do, I think. I don't pay attention to any of this stuff, or what they want you to believe and all this. I look at the net effect of your actions and what it suggests about your thinking. And what they're thinking is that, you know, it's they're into a kind of show business. No, the actions, when you look at them, they're not conducive to building a structure, an infrastructure. That has gone by the wayside for the past 15 years. Mm-hmm. They're busy with the illusion of being part of the political landscape. No, you should be really intensely organizing and building your infrastructure that could outlast you and your ego. Build. That's all you have to do. And then you will know when you're ready to fight at a particular level. But you can certainly engage in very localized politics. You certainly can make a mark there. You certainly can do all of this. But you're not ready. When you have not moved that needle beyond 1%, and you're talking about protecting the integrity of the vote and all that, then you're saying you are not clear about your mission. You're not clear about what you're supposed to be doing.
Hmm. Well, that's the only thing we can take from it, you know, under the circumstances, I guess, right?
That's my thought. My thought is that we cannot allow, and because we desperately need it. We need these parties. We need them, but we need them to behave differently. We need them to think differently and act differently. But there's no question, the Green Party has resuscitated and given a new portal through which Mrs. Clinton will come through again.
Do you think when you're talking about like the portal for her to come through, do you mean that she could maybe get the presidency for the upcoming year?
No, the Green Party is doing all of the work. The Green Party is making the case for Hillary Clinton and legitimizing any kind of claim that she could make, the Green Party is doing that scut work of giving her reason to be once again in the public eye with this issue, which was so ill-timed, especially since you don't have a dog in the fight.
Yeah, well, it just seems to me like it's a waste of time on all parts, because even if they could, like you said, even if they could prove that there was something amiss in the numbers, she's already conceded, so there's nothing they can do, correct?
Except Hillary Clinton has millions and millions of votes. She's a made woman. she's got ammunition. She just happened to have lost to a smarter candidate, politically smarter. He worked the system better than she did, but she's got a lot of ammunition, and she is aiming for a comeback. But we're out of time.
Okay, so I just wanted to say real fast.
A lot of people are in queue, I see. So we will continue this discussion tomorrow, and we must take it on and not be afraid to be critical. We're not being mean, but we're being very, very clear. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Meditations and Molotovs with Vincent Emanuele. You can reach me at leadstories, L-E-I-D, stories@gmail.com. A pleasure always, and a great privilege to be in your company. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.